Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, brothers and sisters, for one of our last sessions, inshallah, for the top 10. I hope everyone is doing well and everyone had a good 27th night of the month of Ramadan, hopefully 26th, 25th as well. But last night, obviously, there were many khatam of Qur'ans and there was a lot going on. We ourselves had a khatam over here at our campus, alhamdulillah. So welcome everyone. So say I just inshallah Sheikh Abdullah and Sheikh Mas when they join. I want everyone to just jump on and just say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I appreciate that. Muhammad Tayyib from London. Yeah, I can't say London the way Sheikh Abdullah said it. I just you know, if I try then he'll make fun of me. So it's just London. So if you're joining, you want to throw in where you're coming from, that would be pretty neat, inshallah ta'ala. Someone's name is Miftah family, mashallah. That's it. Forget the names of the brothers anymore. Now it's just the family. From Virginia, Sabrine, may Allah reward you. We see you in all of our programs. Shall we look forward to seeing you here. From Cambridge, Ontario. That's it. That's not too far from where Sheikh Dawood Butt is. We have Cleveland. We have Ann Arbor, the city that we were raised. Troy, right around the corner, our neighbors from Cali, mashallah, from Dallas, the city of scholars now. May Allah reward you all from Maryland, from Tampa. I'm sure there's some good weather over there from Seattle, Sheikh Abdullah's second favorite city that he spoke about in the moments of the Quran today. From Melbourne, Australia, mashallah, from Atlanta, from West Bloomfield. SubhanAllah, may Allah reward you all for joining. Jazakallah khair from Salam Cup for Ham Beg. Oh wow, mashallah, that's awesome.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Abdul Wahab Sahib.
How's everything, Majan?
Alhamdulillah, fantastic.
Mashallah. I heard it was a fiery moment with the Quran session today.
I mean, those words are extreme words, fiery, blowing up, explosion, ballistic. You know, it was a very tantalizing session.
Tantalizing. Yeah. That's the word that we're going to go with.
How you doing, Mufti? You looking good today with the black turban, with the long hair? You look like the Jesus brother.
Not at all, man. Just trying to keep it fresh. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Did you have Quran today?
Yeah, we had Khatm Quran yesterday.
Mashallah.
We still had Taraweeh. We still had our Taraweeh. And Alhamdulillah, we just had a small tafsir session. And I was able to jump on over here. Alhamdulillah. I was looking forward to seeing you and Sheikh Masmari, you know.
May Allah reward you for everything that you're doing. May Allah, I want to congratulate you on your Khatm al-Quran, for your beautiful recitation. I got some of the audio. Oh, ooh, man. I got some of the audio from San Antonio that you read with Nur Huda. And mashallah.
You got that audio too?
I got that audio and mashallah. I mean, to being part of the entire Quran recital in Taraweeh is such an honor. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's, you know, people say, is this a sunnah or not? But the Prophet ﷺ will revise his Quran with Jibreel in the month of Ramadan. And the last year, Zanna Jibreel aradani al Quran marratayn. You know, twice he revised with the Prophet. We want to welcome everyone. I know you already welcomed everyone, but you know, when I'm with Mufti Abdul Wahab,
welcome them, Bijan.
No, when I'm with Mufti Abdul Wahab, there's another side of me that comes out, and that's
you always have that side, but you don't know this. You have that one side.
I have that one side,
the strong side.
I'm 3D, I have a lot of sides.
Bijan,
Zohab, what's the topic today? What's going on? Tell us what's going on.
They want to hear me recite too, man, Bijan.
You want to hear you recite?
We'll you do know, that for next year.
Why don't you recite a little nasheed for us before we
go? No. MashaAllah. You have the Mufid Rahman that does that. And
please. Barabai, big brother.
Maybe next time. Let's just jump into our program, inshallah. We'll do it later.
All right.
We have, mashallah, people joining from Seattle with the Bahura. Hopefully you and your family are doing well too. But you have a lot of fans from Seattle. You know, alhamdulillah, man. Seattle's a beloved city, mashallah.
No, but Jen, whoever is my loyal fan, may Allah give you Jannah.
alhamdulillah. So Sheikh Masmi will also be joining. He's just texting me right now. He's going to be jumping on, inshallah. But Bijan, how was you guys' moments of the Quran session?
That was good, alhamdulillah. It was good. Mufti Abdul Rahman talked about Hal adullukum ala tijara. And honestly, it went so well. I learned so much. No, it was really refreshing. Alhamdulillah. So everything is well. Honestly, I can't believe these people are awake this late at night in Ramadan joining our top 10. How do you guys do it? See, we do it because we have to do it. How do you guys do it? How are you able to join us? Don't you get tired of watching Miftah? Well, like, but if you're not, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing you guys over and over and being part of this. Thank you so much, honestly.
Alhamdulillah. But Jen, let's get started, inshallah. We'll try to keep it short and sweet so we can, you know, continue with our ibadah. Someone's asking, are we doing anything special on Eid? We're having an Eid carnival on site in our parking lot. I'm not sure if you've heard about that. If you're local, or if you're not local, you're more than welcome to join. But we are not doing anything as in like a webinar or so on for Eid. We want people to spend Eid with their families and enjoy. But we may surprise you the day after Eid, inshallah ta'ala. But Jen, you're breaking up a little bit.
You got a surprise?
I mean, we can surprise if they want it, you know. But we have a very large carnival that we're trying to set up for the first time. So those that are coming, inshallah, you enjoy it. Those that are not, please make dua, it goes well, inshallah ta'ala.
Yeah, you already have like 2,000 people that signed up for this carnival, is that correct?
Yeah, so we pretty much have to close it now.
I think you should close it like yesterday.
Because yesterday,
COVID, God help.
Allah make it easy, inshallah. So, Bijan, today's hadith that we, Sheikh Masri and I, we were speaking, we weren't able to get you on the phone, but we were talking about this hadith, again, referring to the best of something, right? And we've already spoken about the best dua, the best dhikr, the best amal, the best type of amal, consistency, and all of these different types of, you know, a hadith. Today's hadith that we, inshallah, are planning to speak about is more so, I would say it's more of a niche, it's more of a specific thing, but inshallah, it'll still be beneficial for all of us. The hadith is from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, where he says, خَيْرُ الْمَجَالِسِ أَوْسَعُهَا, that the best types of gatherings are the ones that are the most vast. In other words, the best types of individuals are those that are welcoming to others despite the differences in the different ethnicities, the different backgrounds. They're still open to other people. And it's not just something which they hold in their heart, like, yeah, I want everyone to come, but they actually make it happen in person. They actually make sure people feel welcome. And I think a lot of times, many people turn themselves away from certain gatherings just because the way that they are made to feel. And other times, they just go to a gathering not knowing who the speaker is, not knowing what the topic is, but they just want to have that feeling again. It felt good, right? So the Prophet is saying, when he's asked about the best types of gatherings, that the best gathering is that gathering which is open to everyone, right? So Bijan, why don't you start speaking about it as well, and I'll chime in, inshallah, Sheikh Masmi will join, and he'll drop
some. This is a very interesting topic. This topic requires some intensive research. And it got me thinking now, because when you said Khairul Majalis Awsa'uha, right away I try to go into the places in my mind where I have a hadith and thinking about the chapters on this topic, books, hadith. And the first thing that comes to this on this topic to me, I know you can talk about so many things. You can talk about diversity, inclusivity, inclusiveness. But the first hadith that comes to my mind is the hadith with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting, وعن يمينه أبي بكر وعن شماله عمر, Abu Bakr and Umar are sitting, فدخل عباس, عباس رضي الله عنه walks in. There is no space around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at his uncle Abbas. This is, of course, if you know Abbas, if you know the background, Abbas رضي الله عنه accepted Islam very late. He was the last muhajir. He was the last person to do hijrah, you know, right before the conquest of Mecca in the seventh year, in the eighth year, coming into the eighth year. And he walks into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam masjid, nobody moves an inch because of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
It's packed.
It's packed, you know, like who, like, it's like Eid, you know, Eid. Every day was an Eid around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone was gathered around, everyone was excited, everyone was trying to soak in the moment. Abbas radiallahu anhu walks in, and فقام فوسع له أبو بكر الصديق. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq moves back. He makes space for the Prophet's uncle. إنما يعرف الفضل أهل الفضل أهل الفضل. إنما يعرف الفضل أهل الفضل أهل الفضل. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that only the people of honor can truly appreciate, people of grace and honor. And then he got up for him, you know, and he made space for him. And I found that to be very special, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accommodated Abbas radiallahu anhu. This is hadith that I try to apply. There's three things you're not supposed to reject. You remember three things? Mm-hmm. What are the three things, Mufti Sahib? I test you now.
Go ahead. I swear you can...
Okay. Three things, you know. One is milk, mm-hmm. unless you're lactose. Two is itar, tib, perfume. Mm-hmm. Unless the itar is something, the perfume is something that's very...
Allergic.
No, like I there's one brother, on Jum'ah, I used to come, and he would rub perfume all over my hand, you know, a scent. And wallah al-azim, I didn't like it.
Wait, did you still take it?
I didn't take it. It was rough.
In the moments of the Quran, you said that you never said no.
I never said no.
Okay.
I didn't take it either. It was rubbed on me. Like here. Yeah, you just take it, just rub it all over me. And it was what it is, alhamdulillah. This is after salah. If it was done before salah, it would traumatize me, you know. This is so, may Allah bless the brother for his sincerity and his lack of wisdom.
His lack of wisdom.
I mean, so, but the reality is that that's number two. Number three, you can't reject a cushion.
A cushion.
Instead, a pillow. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if somebody makes space for you on a sitting area, say you're sitting, and akramak, he honors you by moving, just like, you know, someone's coming, you don't have space, you honor them, just give them space. Allah emancipates this person from Jahannam. Just for you don't even have to get up, you know, like repositioning yourself to honor someone, especially an elder, or you know, and that is so special. So I mean, I think it's the feeling of
You know, the first one you said, the milk. You know, my qiyas is on milk. That included in milk is also coffee and tea. So you can't reject coffee and tea. So whenever
in chocolate.
In chocolate, right? But yeah, Bajan, you know what? Like when Hassan ibn Ali asked his uncle Hind bi Hala about the Prophet Sallam, one of the questions
before you go into that narration, can we bring on Sheikh Masmadi? He looks like he's in the back end.
Ready? Okay, I didn't know if he's ready.
Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam, Sheikh.
Mashallah, good to see you all. Beautiful talk.
Good to see you, Sheikh, man. Sorry for bothering you in these last few nights.
Sheikh Abd al-Wahhab is a hustler. He hustled me.
We love you, Sheikh.
I love you too. Ha, Sheikh Abdullah.
كاد قلبي أن يطير بنظرك.
Allah. I love you.
Sheikh, how you doing, man?
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. How are both of you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh.
Sheikh, I changed my imama for you.
Why, you have a black one, so you in a serious mode today.
I'm in a serious mode, but I think you're serious too. You took yours off. You're like, khalas, we're done.
You know what? Because I wanted to balance. I wanted to have one with an imama, one with a topi, and one without.
And one with a shawl. You know,
yeah. Next time I'm going to come, I'm going to have a big baller shirt.
Big baller brand. Yeah. Man. Sheikh, so is your khatam done, Sheikh?
Huh?
Your khatam is tomorrow.
No, inshallah, tomorrow night, inshallah.
Inshallah, Sheikh.
This is a perfect for Sheikh Masmari. Bismillah.
Yeah, Sheikh, we just started talking about the khairul majalisi awsa'uha. So, I mean, Sheikh Abdullah shared the beautiful narration of Abbas radiallahu anhu. So, you know, Sheikh, I know you're on for a limited time. So, if you can speak first and then we'll just listen.
I just joined. I want to hear you all so I get in the spirit.
You're naturally in the spirit. You're just
ready. Let me. You're about to say a hadith, so please.
No, I was just saying, like, so Sheikh Abdullah was mentioning the hadith of when you give someone space, you know, and you make space for someone, that person is freed from the fire of Jahannam. And I recall the narration of Hassan radiallahu anhu when he asked him to be hala. He said that how were the gatherings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Like, what a beautiful question. One is to ask, you know, what did the Prophet look like? How did he speak? Another is to ask, how did he bring that into practice around people from different parts of the world?
Like, how was he able to bring the high level character that Allah had endowed him with in front of everyone? Like, there's Bedouins, there's, you know, eloquent people, there's intellectual people, there's everyone around him. And he said one of the responses that he gave was, "Wa yukrimu kareema kulla qawmin wa yu'allihim wa yu'allifuhum." He would say that the Prophet's gathering was such that he would honor the most honorable person of every nation. So even if you were from another part of the world, but you were an individual that was honored by their people, the Prophet would still honor you. And he will still give you respect, and he will still give you a moment to speak and a moment to shine, to such an extent that even when Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul al-Munafiq, when the Prophet came to Madinatul Munawwara, for the first 2 years, he was the person that used to make the announcements on the day of Jum'ah. The Prophet would give him that spot.
He used to make the announcements?
He would give, right before the khutbah. This is under the tafsir of, you can find it in Qurtubi ibn Kathir, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجَسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعَ لِقَوْلِهِمْ.
Wow.
That he used to stand, and before the khutbah would start, he would say, you know, تَقَارَبُوا تَقَارَبُوا, come closer, you know, make sure you make space for each other. And he continued doing this all the way until Uhud. And when Uhud happened, he was exposed. So after Uhud, he came up to make the announcement again, and Umar radiallahu anhu got up and grabbed him by the collar. He said, sit down, not anymore.
That's my man.
No more. No, this is why, you know, that a person that is beloved to another person, he doesn't need to always tell you what to do. You should just know that the Prophet doesn't need to tell him sit down. You should just tell him, brother, you were exposed, sit down, right? So, but the Prophet still honored him. That وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ, under the ayah it says that these people had specific spots in the masjid that they would sit in. And this is one of the reasons that this verse was revealed. إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ.
Wow.
That when the Prophet ﷺ tells you to open up and make room for people. Wow. And the narration mentions that there were people sitting in the front, and the Ahl-e Badr walked in. People of Badr walked in, and they were standing there, and there was no room. And the Prophet ﷺ told them to make room, and he put some people on the side, and he moved them around, and he brought the people of the Badr in the front. And these people got, the munafiqun started to use this as a propaganda that, oh, the Prophet ﷺ favored these people over those people. Allah says, hey, إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. If the Prophet tells you to make room, and if you're told to open up a little bit, then open up, right? And if you do that, Allah will open up your hearts. And Allah will open up your homes. One narration mentions Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, is of the opinion.
Before you go to the next narration, because you are right now, you're spitting dimes and diamonds.
No, not at all, Bijan. I'm just trying to get you most started.
But just before you go ahead, that should be the attitude of our homes, of our hearts, of our masajid, of our sitting areas, our, you know, our qa'adas, maqa'ads, wherever we sit. This is how we should be, where we just, everyone feels welcome, and there is no exclusive sitting areas for anyone. Everyone's welcome. And mashallah, yeah. Beautiful.
There was no nepotism in Islam. There was no elitism in Islam. There was no cabinet place where the members of the cabinet would sit down. They would all sit in the same place. When we look for a dinner table, we should look for a dinner table that can fit the most people, not a dinner table that looks the best. When you look for a room that people can sit inside, we shouldn't look for a room that sits the people in the best manner, in the most comfortable manner, but rather the room that can fit the most people. When Uqba ibn Amir was informed about all of the difficulties that were to come in our time, he was a genius. And he asked the Prophet, "Man najat?" How do we save ourselves in those difficult times? Those difficult times that you're referring to, how can we save ourselves? The Prophet gave him three pieces of advice. He said, number one, "Amsik alayka lisanak." Hold your tongue. Just hold your tongue. If you want to be able to get through, hold your tongue. Number two, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. Open up your home for people. Let your home be big enough for you and the people around you. Let your home be spacious for people, not in the sense that it has to be a large house, but a house that is welcoming. And number three was وَبْكِي عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ, to cry on your sins. Sheikh, I hope I didn't speak too long and in disrespect the time that you are giving us. But if you can just add to anything that you want to add to in regards to this hadith, please, shed some light on it, and inshallah, allow us to go diving with you.
Mashallah, mashallah. That's some deep, wise words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. I missed out on Sheikh Abdullah's portion. I need a summary No, but inshallah.
Sheikh, you're smart, man. You're smart.
Sheikh, you didn't miss nothing, man. Listen, Sheikh, if you don't start speaking now, we're going to keep you for another hour. So, bismillah.
So, to share a few thoughts, based on the foundation that everyone has just heard, and understanding Seerah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's halaqat was not only educational, it was transformational. So the objective of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's halaqat was how to transform this human being, how to allow them to become better people. How can they be, how can they experience this motivation? How can the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bring about change in their lives? And this is why the Prophet's halaqa was all purposeful. There was intention behind everything he did. And I feel that nowadays with our halaqat, with our lectures, how we place people, the setting, all of that is just done because it's there. But in the Prophet's time, the design of the halaqa, how the classes that will be delivered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at different times serve different purposes. So after Fajr, it was more of a communal discussion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would allow people to speak in that beautiful time after Fajr. هل رأى أحد منكم رؤيا? After sunrise, it was the time where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach people. You're talking about hardcore classes. Later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to the masjid, and that would be life experience, challenges that people had in life. People would come and ask different questions. It's no longer the Prophet speaking, it is them asking. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, it's beautiful how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to change his community because there was niyyah behind everything he did. It wasn't just there because it was there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that this halaqa should be a halaqa that brings about change. To give you an example, and I've asked this to many people, that why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam say, may Allah's curse be upon a person whom sits in the middle of the halaqa? Even though everyone sits in the middle, everyone is there, everyone is sitting in a circle, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a la'na upon a person that sits right in the middle. Why? Wow. Because the Prophet's halaqa was in two lines. It wasn't a circle. So he had a line on the right side and then a line on the left side. And then the in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the middle was kept open for people that want to ask, people that would walk. When Jibreel alayhi salam came to ask the Prophet in Hadith Jibreel, and I know Sheikh Abdullah Laji Al-Khair has a series with Jibreel alayhi salam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel was not disrespectful. Jibreel did not jump over people. Jibreel alayhi salam just walked straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he placed his knees, touching the Prophet's knees, and he placed his hands on his thighs. So he just easily and calmly walked straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because the middle path that led to the Prophet was open. Anyone that would like to ask the Prophet, he had access. She had access to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Part of the Prophet's halaqa, this was a judge-free zone. Anyone would ask questions. You have women that came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions that even Ummuna Aisha was embarrassed. One lady came, she said, Ya Rasulullah, what do women do when they have a dream that requires them showering? Ra'atil ma. They notice some wetness. What does a lady do? Aisha radiallahu anha said, oh my God, you've just embarrassed us women that we have the same dreams as men do. And they experience this wetness. And Aisha was so embarrassed. قَالَ فَأَجَابَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَن تَغْتَسِلْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, just take a shower. Women felt that comfortable in the Prophet's halaqa to ask questions. And I feel until now, in the 21st century, you will have women that can't even ask such questions. They would be embarrassed in the community and people would look at them. But in the Prophet's time, a young man would come and say, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to commit zina. So they had to reach this level of comfort where a man can confidently comfortably asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this something allowed? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then taught that young man. And subhanAllah, there's so many ahadith that speak about the Prophet's halaqa, but the Prophet's halaqa was like no other halaqa. The Prophet's halaqa was filled with sakina, with tranquility, with rahmah. When we say rahmah, it was not only rahmah descending, it was rahmah being shared by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Wow, wow.
Just there, when we're talking about rahmah, Allah sends down his rahmah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sharing his rahmah through his teachings. So that's a summary for, hopefully, inshallah, I was able to answer.
Sheikh, that was deep.
Beautiful. It's not just physical. It's not just physical space being expanded, but also like this emotional space being expanded where people feel welcome. And I wish we can have that feeling in our centers and our homes. Imagine with the father where the child feels comfortable around the parent. Brothers feel comfortable around the brothers. At the same time, demanding them, giving them respect. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ was welcoming, didn't lose his respect. At the same time, he was able to communicate with these people at a level that they loved him. And whenever there was any form of like strong personality trying to disrupt the openness of the session, for example, if Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu got up and said, Ya Rasulullah, this can't happen. Prophet said, chill, Umar, ijlis, fa'innahu mu'min. It's like, relax, relax. Let him speak. Like, Hatim ibn Abi Balta'a, when he made the mistake. Mm-hmm. And so the gathering was big, فَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُوبَتْ. It was, the earth was vast, but then it narrowed on them because they felt like emotionally, socially, it wasn't welcoming, right? They felt isolated, they felt alienated. So when this type of stuff happens, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu wants to speak up against someone's behavior or demeanor or mistake, Prophet ﷺ always there, easy, easy. Let me handle it. Ijlis. فَإِنَّهُ بَدَرِيٌّ. This man was a badari. He participated in badr. Let the people who committed a crime feel comfortable. Let the women feel comfortable. Let the children feel comfortable. Let the adults feel comfortable. Even if someone was coming from Makkah, and Umar ibn Khattab grabs him by his collar, right? This guy's coming to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just let him go. Let him go. What's up? And he's like, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks to him, and this eventually he converts to Islam. So that was the beautiful character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is no wonder that when they saw him and they talked to him, they fell in love with him.
Like, I feel like sometimes that we think that the gatherings, this hadith is only referring to like physical gatherings. The reality is that Sahabas were away from the Prophet more than they were close to the Prophet. They were away from the Prophet for many years. Ja'far radiallahu anhu was away from the Prophet for the majority of his Muslim life.
Wow.
And we do all of these things of shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot, salam bit taslim, shaking the hands and musafaha, all of this to build this closeness and inclusivity. Like, okay, we're all together. But yet the hearts are still disconnected, right? So even though Ja'far was far from the Prophet and Abu Dharr was far from the Prophet, when they came, the Prophet still met them with so much love. And this is a sign of true love, that regardless of how much you speak to each other, when you end up speaking to each other, there's nothing but love there. And this is the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he says that, us companions, we never used to always meet, but when we did meet, we would joke a little bit, and then we would cry together, and we would enjoy together as well. So it's not that you physically always have to be together. It's if the hearts are joined, then hopefully the gatherings can also be connected and joined. It's not the opposite per se. It's not that the gatherings have to be physically joined. First, the hearts have to be joined. The hearts have to be connected. And through that, the gatherings will also be connected. Because this quick point that I wanted to make in that same ayah, the ayah before, that there's actually something very scary that happens when we allow our gatherings to be exclusive. When we allow this concept of VIP seating and exclusiveness, and we want to make sure there's a fast pass and there's a normal pass and there's a first class and a second class. We never had that amongst Sahabas. We never had that concept open up amongst Sahabas. Yes, you would see that once in a while for the Prophet to show virtue, but it wasn't something which was a norm.
Yeah. When you have time after this, ask Sheikh Masmani to share the story, beautiful story of Umar bin Khattab making space for Khabbab and Bilal in his room.
Right after this, inshallah. But then there's an ayah which tells us the negative effects of what happens when we start doing the opposite of what used to happen in the gatherings of the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when speaking about this, says, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this concept of being alone and exclusive and like closing people out from your gates and closing the doors, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, it's from shaitan. Like this concept of wanting to be exclusive, this is from shaitan. لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And this is to make other people sad. So it's like, yeah, you know, we're sitting down over here. You can't come. We want to make sure you feel like you're missing out. We want to make sure you feel like you are missing out. لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And this is what would happen when the munafiqun would be sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and the sahabas would walk in and they would want to go there. They would be whispering. And the moment that they would see them, they would stop talking. And the sahabas would feel like, okay, do you want us to join? Like, yeah, come. But then the conversation would end. Like, if we're brothers, let's talk about something else, but at least continue.
That's why when the two people are talking to the third person, you're not allowed to whisper.
Not allowed to whisper. إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This concept of wanting to be exclusive is a sunnah of shaitan. This exclusiveness. This is only for me. This is only for our crew, our group. And to break this, we have to be generous with our hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَتَنَاجَوْا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not bring gatherings that have sins and are exclusive with one another, but rather make sure your gatherings are open enough for people to join and benefit. But Sheikh Masmari, if you can just quickly, you know, if you can speak a little bit more about that. You know, Bajan, your story, what you said about Ka'b ibn Malik, the only reason that he was affected is because the gatherings of the Prophet were such that they were always welcoming. So now, since he felt like he was not welcomed, it had an effect on him. If we don't welcome people today, they don't even feel affected because they haven't felt the experience of feeling welcomed. They haven't felt the experience of feeling loved. Those people felt it and they realized the greatness of it. Now,
One minute. Also, when someone was absent, their absence was noticed.
SubhanAllah.
Like that was Wayne Thabit ibn Qais al-Shammas.
I mean, in that hadith, Bajan, Hinda Bihala says, وَيَتَفَقَّدُ أَصْحَابَهُ. One of the Prophet's strongest qualities is that he would look and search for the companions that were missing.
Yeah.
Not because, to call them out.
Because they're part of that majalis, they're part of the crew, right? Like, imagine everyone was like that, where everyone felt welcome. You know, what happens is, unfortunately, some denominations that become a little religiously oriented. They start wearing clothes a certain way. They start wearing a turban. They start wearing like, oh, he's a sheikh, or she's dresses in a certain color hijab, or this type of thing, and they become exclusive. هذا ليس من سنة. This is بعيد عن السنة. This is not anything close. There was no one more spiritually exclusive that had the entitlement to be spiritually exclusive. More than the Sahaba and his companions, and the Prophet and his companions. But even then, they were inclusive. You know, there was no such thing as this type of branding of clothing or this type of recognition of some cult. It was all open. This is so important because, you know, like we naturally click with people who have the similar mindsets and mentalities and similar sheikhs and similar ideologies. But that's not how it's supposed to be when we're Muslims. We're supposed to welcome everyone. Like, you know, whether it's race, whether it's practices, of even opinions, all these are supposed to be, we're supposed to be welcoming. And unfortunately, we've used the brand of Islam to become exclusive. The brand of Islam, which is injustice. Imagine we start saying, Sheikh Masmari and you, we are the brand, Miftah brand, right? And whoever wears Miftah sweater, shirt, mask, you ever seen that? Sheikh Masmari, you got one of these?
Yeah, but I felt that all the air goes out. So it wasn't
it wasn't actually doing the job.
No, they're the most comfortable masks. I think people should get them. I think you guys should sell them, not give them.
I mean, what do you think about that? When people become
inclusive, like you know, become exclusive based on their on the personalities and their approach to religion. That's not acceptable. No, that's not acceptable. And that's, I'm sorry, Mufti Dhuhab, I cut you off, but I want
to. No, good. Yeah, it's fine. If Sheikh Muslim continue, inshallah. Sheikh Huna, please.
Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There's a hadith that gives people a perspective of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. For those that, if you want to visualize the Prophet, if you want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a moment when it comes to his halaqa and how he was able to capture people's hearts at that moment. Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i was the son of Hatim al-Ta'i. Hatim al-Ta'i was the most generous Arab. And Adi did have this animosity towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't like the Prophet because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought an end to all their personal agendas. And then he was a humble man sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though he had mercy upon the leadership, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one that said irhamu aziza qawmin dhal. He said it to his sister, about his sister, that have mercy on a noble man that became humble, a noble person that became humble. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that mercy, but people were still afraid. Okay, what will happen? What will happen to my reputation? So Adi comes up with a strategy. He says, I'm going into Medina and I will sit with Muhammad. And based on that sitting, I will draw my own conclusions. If I would either embrace or reject the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Wow.
He walks into Medina and there were only two options. Ahuwa nabiyun am malik. That's it. Is he a king or a prophet? That's the conclusion. There's no third conclusion. There's no third object. That's one of the two. Qala fadakaltu faraaytu Muhammadan jalisun ma'a ashabihi. I walked in and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just sitting among his companions. No one knew who the Prophet was.
Wow.
Qala fa'alimtu anna hadha laysa min sifati al-muluk. And I knew that kings will never do such things. قال فعلمت أنه نبي. I knew that he was a prophet.
Just by seeing
the prophet.
Sallallahu.
He then said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked, "Who are you?" He said, "Adi." He said, "Ibn Hatim." He said, "Yes." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then got up and took him to his house. قال وبينما نحن في الطريق استوقفته جارية فسألته وسألته فلم يتركها صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى أخرجت له ما في قلبها. That a young girl stopped the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and she spoke to him and spoke to him and spoke to him and spoke to him until the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم answered all her questions and she was fully satisfied and then he left. قال فعلمت أن هذا ليس من صفة الملوك.
Wow.
I knew that kings don't do this. A man that behaves in such manner has to be Rasulullah.
Wow. That was the second one.
That's the second one. He said, we entered the house and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a small mat. قَالَ فَنَزَعَهَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَجْلَسَهُ عَلَيْهَا وَقَالَ اِجْلِسْ عَلَيْهَا يَا عَدِي. He then took that mat and placed it under Adi and said, sit on it, O Adi. Adi then said, how can I sit on it, Ya Rasulullah? Yeah, Muhammad, how can I sit on this? This is your house. No. And they were going back and forth and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declines. He said, I will not sit on it. And he enforces Adi radiallahu anhu to sit on that mat. قَالَ فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ وَلَيْسَ مَلِكٌ فَأَسْلَمْتُ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He then, subhanAllah, he knew that this man cannot be a king, but was the messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, through that type of behavior, Adi radiallahu anhu embraced Islam. So this shows you that he didn't put much effort, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And embodying such character is just us being natural. Us being natural, just being nice, just being people that care, people that love, people that are aware of people's emotions, people that are walking into the masjid. It doesn't take much. But it shows you that we are so far from the sunnah that stories like this are stories that we've heard since we were kids, and it ends there. It's not something that we can truly bring about in our lives and allow that to affect our communities. And there's so much things that we can say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yeah. So jazakumullah.
That was deep, man.
That was an unbelievable story. Unbelievable story. Is Abdullah Bukhari sitting with you?
He was the one that was tripping right now.
Is he there? Can you bring him on screen for a second?
This is
Abdullah Bukhari. I recognized that 1 second of laughter. I knew it was you.
It was so beautiful, man. Just listening to Sheikh Al-Masri with the Arabi, man. Man, that was so beautiful. I couldn't hold myself.
Man, I need a fanboy like that.
Yeah. I just love for you guys.
Those who are watching, Abdullah Bukhari, that's his name, is Abdullah Bukhari. And Sheikh Masmari quotes Bukhari. Abdullah Bukhari is the weak version of Bukhari.
Mashaikh, if I can end one thing, and then that's my part.
You can't end. You continue.
No, Allah, it's just the judging. Sheikh Abdullah, when you were saying this, a hadith came to mind where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La tutilu nazara ila al-majdumin." La tutilu nazara ila al-majdumin. That do not pause as you look at people that are suffering from leprosy. Right, people that are struggling with this illness.
Wow.
Why? Because the Prophet never wanted them to feel uncomfortable.
Wow.
And I feel that when people walk into our masajid, we may make them feel uncomfortable because they've joined once, twice, or they're not consistent in our halaqat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he promoted to look at people when you greet them, when you give them salam, but he said, be careful, because sometimes when you look at a person in a different manner, it may affect them negatively. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if this may push someone away from the masjid, do not look at them where you just pause. We look at people that just come for Ramadan. Oh, these people worship Allah in Ramadan only. Or they just coming for these events. We welcome everyone.
Wow.
And anyone that walks in through those doors is the guest of Allah and not our guest. The guest of Allah. But we honor the guest of Allah because we honor Allah.
Subhanallah. Lift this up. You hear that?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I'm going to let you speak, but like,
no, I'm done.
That's why Sheikh Masmari, who studied the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sirah in the body language of the Prophet, like Sheikh Masmari always talks about this. It's not just the ya'lamuna zahir. You know, they learn the apparent text of a hadith, roll your pants up, you know, and this and that. But there's a batin. There's a batin to that. And that is a character of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's a hikmah. Yu'til hikmata man yasha'. How many times we sisters, I've heard this come, one of the sisters came up to me in my community and they said to me, you know, sisters are feeling very judged. They're coming after a long time or they feel like these are not their mothers or their teachers, but people are coming up to them and judging them and telling them, this is inappropriate, you're in the house. I mean, there's a time to teach that. There's a time to also respect the house of Allah. But like, honestly, someone's coming after 1 year, after 9 months, maybe this Ramadan, after 2 years, because last Ramadan masajid were closed. So after 2 years, someone's coming to the masjid on the 27th night. SubhanAllah, you know, Sheikh Masmari, I mean, it can't be as bad as a person who urinated in the Prophet's mosque, right? Like, it can't be that bad, you know? And the Prophet said, "Utruku," like, come on, man, leave this. We'll settle the case. It can't be as bad as the Prophet is praying and someone sneezes and the man next to him says, "Yarhamukullah." Like, so he's a new Muslim, but this new Muslim knows how to say "Yarhamukullah." You know the Muslims all know the "Assalamu alaikum, Aki, Assalamu alaikum." And the second thing they learn is "Yarhamukullah." You know, but imagine in Salah, this person says "Yarhamukullah." He says the Sahaba started to, you know, they started slapping the back of their hands, kind of like silence him. This "Bada yusakni," they started to try to make me quiet, and I said to them, like, why are you staring me down? Why are you trying to make me silent? And then I started speaking in Salah, and then the Sahaba like, like, we're trying to stop the problem. You know, like when you like shh someone, and the person goes like, he blows up even more. You're like, better off just staying quiet, right? So Sahaba didn't do nothing. They just stayed quiet. He said, "I just became Muslim." Come on, Sheikh Masmari, you got to finish this hadith off.
Please, Sheikh Musbeh, please, Sheikh Musbeh.
I can't. Please finish. We're in the zone and you just stop. Don't stop.
وَنَعَانِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدُ خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. Then the Prophet ﷺ called me and I'd never seen a teacher so beautiful like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَمَا زَجَرَنِي. He never yelled at me. إِنَّمَا هِيَ الصَّلَاحِ. He said the salah is تَسْإِنَّمَا تِيَ التَّسْبِيحُ وَالتَّهْلِيلُ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. You know, this is the salah that has the dhikr of Allah, the prayers. Like, you can't say these kinds of stuff about the Prophet ﷺ. He had not, like, right away, he felt like he was being judged. But then the Prophet ﷺ made him feel welcome and gave him love. And these were the gatherings. Honestly, like, honestly, sometimes people wonder, why are youth don't come to the masjid? Okay, let's get them a table tennis team. Let's get them, let's spend $2 million and make them a gym. Let's maybe we need to get a youth coordinator. He's not doing his job. Sister youth coordinator, she's not doing her job. You know, it's a lot of things. It's not just that. When they come, how do they feel? I've literally heard people say to me that we don't want youth come to the masjid, they make it messy. I was like, oh, they make so much noise, they make so much mess. I say to them, like, really, like, this is how you get them close to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You develop a connection with them. I mean, the sahabi, like, you can imagine, I mean, Abbas says, a blind man walked in Salah, right? And he slipped and he fell because it was muddy. And the Sahaba started laughing so loud. They were kids. They were like 9 years old. Started laughing. And the Prophet didn't yell at them. He said, guys, go do wudu. Like, figure it out. Like, you're not supposed to laugh in Salah. But this was the Prophet so welcoming. Even big mistakes, he defused those problems and he corrected them.
SubhanAllah. Allah make our gatherings like that as well. Inshallah, we are able to have physically wide gatherings where everyone feels welcomed and not by default. Sometimes we say that everyone's welcome, but we don't do anything to welcome them.
Wow.
It's not by default that everyone is welcome. The Prophet's gatherings were, it wasn't like, yeah, everyone's, you can come. Like, you can come if you want to come. But the way that you situate it is that they can't come, right? It's based upon that you have to set it up in a way that everyone is actually able to feel welcome, and then they can actually come and enjoy those gatherings, right? It's not just to say it. Once there was a man that walked into the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and it was a day of Jumu'ah, and he used to sit on a specific spot. And he went to that spot, and there was someone already sitting there. And this man said, okay, I'm going to go to that spot, and I'm going to ask this guy to move over. And he comes there, and he asked that sahaba, can you make some room for me? But there's no room. The guy says, where do you want me to move? It's packed. Scoot over. I can't scoot over. There's nowhere to go. And this is while the Prophet is giving his khutbah. You know, it's like, imagine the Prophet is giving his khutbah. This person walks in. He tries to push this person over. And of course, these were also new Muslims. And we were learning. They were also learning on the job, right? And once he gets there, and he starts telling him, sir, you know, move over. And he's not moving over. He calls him a name. He says, hey, you know, oh, son of, you know, a woman that used to be my slave. You know, like, you better move over.
Wow. Like,
over.
Wow. And
the Prophet ﷺ in his khutbah heard this.
Wow.
And there were certain things. It's very rare. Perhaps Sheikh Musbeh and Sheikh Bajan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. There's very few instances in Seerah where the Prophet stopped everything and corrected the mistake right at that moment.
Very rarely.
Very rare. Because generally he would wait, hold it, and correct it later so people don't feel bad. But because this mistake made someone else feel bad,
discrimination.
He wanted to make sure that people knew what to do in this situation. He was teaching them through this process. He calls this person forward and he says to them, he doesn't ask him what he said, because to ask the person what he said would be even more infuriating. He doesn't ask him what he said. All he said to him was, "Unduru ila wujuhi man amamakum." Look at the faces that are all in front of you. Look, just look at the faces. Like, just look. I'm not going to say much. Just look. And then tell me, what do you see? And the man looks. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, Ra'aytu wujuh al-aswad wal-abyad wal-ahmara. I see different faces from different colors in different places. The Prophet says, well, that's what we are, man. And don't give us virtue over one another based upon who you were in the past, in your jahiliyyah, and who you were before you became a Muslim. This is now we're... Now we have reached an equal playing field. The equal playing field is now we hold iman in our hearts. The sahabas, when they, you know, this, I was, Shibajan, I'm sure most of you mentioned this, we'll end it. The reason why this, one of the reasons why this ayah was revealed, fafsahu fil majalis, Ibn Abbas says, it was because in the gatherings of battle, The Sahabas would want to stand in the front, and they would want to be in the first line of battle, because they were the ones that wanted to earn Shahada first. So they actually had a positive intention to constrict the gathering, because they wanted to be the first people to receive Shahada. So sometimes we say, well, my intentions are pure, my intentions are good. So your intentions are good is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what people see is also important. So when these Sahabas in the battle of Uhud were standing in the front and they were wanting to be the first ones to become shaheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, even though you have the best intentions, make space. And let other people also come in the first row to receive shahada as well. So we can, it can be more permissible to restrict gatherings in our home, but it is not permissible to restrict or make a gathering exclusive in the home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in places where people can receive reward. So specifically these gatherings, we should open them up. Not be judgmental, Bijan, in both ways, if I can add. Not be judgmental, Shamasri, correct me if I'm wrong, but not be judgmental in both ways. Not only if we see someone that hardly comes to the masjid, but if a person sees someone who is wearing a specific type of clothing, we shouldn't push them away either from our gatherings because they're too pious for us or they're too righteous for us. We're not going to invite them to our party because they're always wearing a turban or they're always doing a certain thing. No.
Do you feel like that sometimes?
I mean, sometimes we feel that from Muslims more than non-Muslims, you know, to be honest. Hey, you know
what? I can see it because a lot of Muslims discriminate against Muslims too.
I'm just being honest, right? Like, if we're being real, like, to be looked at by non-Muslims, you don't feel bad. Like, we're used to it. But when you go to a masjid in the khutbah and Muslims are looking at you like you're, you know, a robot that came from somewhere, it's hard. It hurts, right? So it works both.
Don't get hurt.
No, alhamdulillah. I mean, come on, Vision. You know, we have your blood, so we'll survive. Yeah, inshallah. Yeah. But my point is, they used to
do that to me.
Did you stop wearing a turban?
Yeah, Sheikh, then you stop wearing the turban.
No, I just said go fly a kite.
Huh?
I said go fly a kite.
That's a good point.
I think America, man, we can wherever we want.
You know, just one thing about subhanAllah, as you were talking, what crossed my mind, there's a list of ahadith that I'm just thinking about right now as Sheikh Abdul Wahhab was speaking, that Sahaba that came into a gathering hating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walking out with nothing but complete love.
Allah Akbar.
Nowadays it's the opposite. They may come into a halaqah wanting so much love and they leave brokenhearted.
Wow.
So Thumama ibn Athan, didn't he not walk into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's halaqah? And the masjid, he says, وَمَا مِنْ وَجْهٍ أَبْغَضُ إِلَيَّ مِنْ وَجْهِكَ وَمَا مِنْ مَدِينَةٍ أَبْغَضُ إِلَيَّ مِنْ مَدِينَتِكَ, that there is no city that I hate most than your city, and there is no face that I hate more than your face. And then sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he completely changed. Your face is the most beautiful face, and your city is the most beloved city. You have Adi ibn Hatim, you have Abi Umayl, the same things, people that came in and they disliked the Prophet and his halaqah and his message, and they left and they were completely transformed. And I hope that should be our intention. When people walk in, their intention is inshallah khair. They are seeking change. So never push them away where that experience is an experience that pushes them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amazing. Sheikh Musbah, even that hadith where the Prophet said, like, the best people are those who have the softest shoulders when they're praying, you know, like, and they're doing sajda. They don't flex too hard. They make people like, you know, they're not stiff, you know, they're not stiff
with their elbows.
They're not with elbows. Like they're not trying to show their position. They're not trying to fight for their position, you know? And honestly, people don't realize that people are like, oh man, our masajid empty. What are we talking about making space? Like people are like, oh, okay. Jummah is the only busy day, like, you know, that's the only day. But really, I've never ever fought for space in the masjid. Like, if you're thinking about it, like, there's so much space. Only time when there's no space is Eid or Jummah. Or, you know, Sheikh Masmah, he comes to give a halaqah and miftah. Then it gets a little busy, you know. But think about Rawda. Think about the Rawda. Think about the Rawda. Sheikh Masmah and I spend nights in the Rawda together. Sheikh Masmah has a very beautiful adah. Number one is that he likes to be in the Rawdah, right? And Aada means he has a very good habit. He likes to be in the Rawdah, but after he does this, completes his ibadah, his dua, he sees other people, he gets up and leaves right away. And he could stay there all night. He's coming from Michigan. He has a whole list of people to make dua for in Unity Center. God guide them. You know, people in Michigan, people in Flint, people in Warren. You know, he has duas for so many people, for his sisters, for his brothers, for his parents, his mother, rahmatullah alayh. Few minutes, Sheikh Masri, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, gets up, leaves. I'm like, yo, this is a rawdah. I'm not getting up. But the concept of there's someone else. And being generous with that. Being generous with that spot, that place. And then, you know, Allah knows that you gave away that spot and you have a lot of du'as to make. And you step out of the road that you think Allah won't accept your du'as. Allah wants to, your du'as are accepted anywhere else. So Allah wants to see the heart. Allah wants to see your character. Allah wants to see your kindness. And that was the beautiful character.
Mm-hmm. Bijan, if I may add just at the end, Bijan, just quickly, that one of the things in that gathering of the Prophet was also to give other people opportunities, right? So I feel like giving other people opportunities should also be something that we try our best to do in our gatherings and within our masajid. So the Prophet would give everyone opportunities so that they feel welcome and they feel a sense of ownership. So hopefully we're also able to do that, right? And another thing he would do is he would, when someone would walk in, sometimes he would say their name to make them feel happy. Or when Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad walked in, he said, قُومُوا لِسَيِّدِكُمْ, right? Stand up for your leader. So sometimes, you know, if we go out of our way and say a few things, you know, sometimes we think if we compliment someone, we say their name, they become arrogant.
What's up? Next time I come there, I want you to make everyone stand up for me.
Well, come on. They already do, Bijan.
All I want some tea and I'm good to go.
Inshallah, Sheikh, before you leave, can you? I know everyone's asking you.
Everyone asking. Look, one, this is Hudhaifa. I think Hudhaifa is obsessed with you. And then we have this brother named Abid. Please allow for time at the end of the session for Sheikh Masmi to read Quran. Why doesn't anyone ask me to read Quran? Like, why? What's this? Is
because they hear every day from you.
Because you cheated the system when you read that time. You just read one ayah. You're like, Subhanallah, asra bi'adhi.
You told me to go first, so I had the choice, you know. So Sheikh Masmani, there's way too many requests, and our people in Flint and across America do not have the ability to come to a new Unity Center for the beautiful Qiyam. Some youth, they go there and they pray there and they come back and they tell me their experience. And people are asking for Sheikh Abdul Wahab to read Quran, which is five. You know,
okay, please let's go with Sheikh Abdul Wahab tonight.
No, Sheikh, please.
I haven't heard Sheikh Abdul Wahab recite, by the way. You know, I haven't heard him recite.
You heard me recite in Unity before, Sheikh. Come on, man.
No, I didn't.
It wasn't good. That's what you forgot.
I'll do you a favor. I'll send you his audio. And before we leave, we would like to have somebody wants me to recite poems.
MTJ style, they're saying.
No, I'm not going to do no poems right now. But we're going to definitely inshallah, if we can have Sheikh Masmadi just conclude the session, not only with the Quran, but also with the dua. And that would be a beautiful ending to our program. Sheikh Masmadi, listen, before you leave, wallah al-azim, bidun mujamala, wa bidun mubalagha, we respect you, we love you so much. And I know it's mutual.
Wallahi, it's mutual.
You know, sometimes we joke around, but honestly, we respect you, love you so much. You have more gray hair than me, but you're not like 20 years older than me. You're a young guy. I mean, compared to, like, you're still young, but you have so much more wisdom. You're so wise in your way you approach things. So many things I learned from you. Even this top 10 topic, Sheikh Abdul Wahab was bouncing off of me. He gave me some ideas. And then Sheikh Masmari told Sheikh Abdul Wahab, I don't think that's a good idea. I think this is, right, Sheikh Abdul Wahab?
Yeah, he told me to do hadith.
Amazing. So Sheikh Masmari, it's not like I'm exaggerating, but like
people. He's a part of a lot of our decisions.
Of our decisions. You know, people always ask, what's Sheikh Abdul
Wahab? Okay, khalas, thank you so much. No, I love you, Sheikh. Wallah, I love you. I love both of you. I love you all. Yeah, well, you all are the ones that are serving and being up all night. I don't know how you all do it. Wallahi, people need to appreciate. I'm gonna be honest. You all, jazakumullah khair. I'm gonna be honest. People don't see what's behind the scenes. Sheikh Abdul Wahab calling, going, mashallah, following up, wanting people to join, and then we're not responding right away. May Allah bless you all and allow, you know, all of this ajr to go to your two beautiful parents.
Ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to receive all the khair that you all are doing. If it wasn't for their talbiyah from the get-go, you would have never been where you are right now, you know, leading our communities, teaching our ummah. You have hundreds of people, thousands of people that watch these videos, that learn. This is a ni'mah. And Miftah is a blessing in Michigan that I think people really need to say hamd for. They really need to just say hamd wa shukr. May Allah bless you all. Ihna, we're just side people. May Allah bless you all and protect you all.
Oh, man. Zakhallah khair, Sheikh Masri. You're so kind. If you can please recite something for us. And then there's too many requests. If there was like one, two, I would have spared it. But there's been like at least 10, 15 requests. And we don't want to disappoint our viewers because these are the same people who donate to us. So we can't. I'm just joking, you know. Some of them are youth, and I don't want to, you know, hurt their feelings. So if you can recite for us and then concluding dua. And with so much love, thanks to everyone for joining. And may Allah bless you, for barakah and your family, your wife, your children, and save you from the evil. And may you have a great ending to this Ramadan, accepted Ramadan. And may you have a great Eid Salah. And may this hasanat, sadaqa jariyah, go to the grave of your mother, rahmatullah alayh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make your children, your nieces, your nephews, from the hafidhul Quran, ulama deen, salihin, muslihin, ya rabbil alameen. Sheikh Musmali, you're like a brother, man. I'm so glad that you're here, and inshallah, I hope you never leave Michigan and stay with us forever, inshallah.
Allah yazakum khair. Thank you so much. Allah yabarak fik.
So Sheikh Musmali, choose a surah that you could read.
Okay, can I read Wadduha?
No. So Sheikh Musmali, if you can read some, I'm sorry, I said no disrespectfully, but Wadduha is a little bit, it's a beautiful surah for Maghrib Salah. But right now, I'd like to request if you can read something, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. You know, something a little bit longer with a nice passage. I'm being selfish.
Sheikh put me on the spot. So if I make a mistake, everyone, this is okay, bismillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa laqad khalaqna al-insana wa na'lam ma tuwaswisu bihi nafsuhu. ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقيا في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد. صدق الله.
سلام عليكم. ما شاء الله شيخ مسمري.
جزاكم الله خير.
ما شاء الله. Is so lucky to have you and such a beautiful community that you have there, the Muslim Unity Center. All the brothers and sisters there are so lucky, and they're just a perfect package there. Jazakallah khair for the beautiful recitation.
Thank you.
Just do a small dua to conclude this gathering, please.
Yalla, you all. Khalas, I did my part. Bismillah.
Khalas, Sheikh Abdul Rahab, Bismillah.
No, I did dua yesterday already.
Jazallahu anna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa antakhir rahimin Allahumma taqabbal siyamana wa qiyamana wa ruku'ana wa sujudana wa tilawatana ya rabbal alamin Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yaqra'una al-Qur'an ana al-layli wa atraf an-nahar waj'alhu lana hujjatan wa la 'alaina ya rabbal alamin Allahumma atiq riqabana wa riqab aba'ina wa ummahatina wa azwajina wa dhurriyyatina an-nar Allahumma ja'alna min utaqa'i shahri Ramadan Allahumma ahsin 'aqibatana fil umuri kulliha wajirna min khizyi ad-dunya wa 'adhab al-akhirah Oh Allah, accept our Ramadan, accept our fasting, accept our praying, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Oh Allah, accept this virtual gathering, all those people who are tuning in from all across the world. We ask You Almighty to accept their prayers, accept their du'as, make their children the coolness to their eyes. Those who have parents, give them health and barakah. Those whose loved ones have left their company, have joined the souls of the righteous in the heavens. We ask You Almighty Allah to give them Jannat al-Firdaus bighayri hisab, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Those who are sick, we ask You to give them shifa. Those who are worried, we ask You by Your infinite mercy to remove their worries and their pain and their anxiety, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, we ask You, all of us, the sabr jameel, the ability to be patient for the losses and the difficulties that we have gone through, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask You, Almighty Allah, to give Abdul Rahim, Rahmatullah alayhi, Jannat al-Firdaus bighayri hisab. We ask You, Almighty Allah, to give the mother of Shaykh al-Nasri, Rahimahullah, the highest level in Jannah, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, bighayri hisab. We ask You, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, to make our children from the righteous, to make them hafizat al-Qur'an, those who learn the Qur'an, who recite the Qur'an, who become du'at salihin, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Oh Allah, so many people are tuning in to Miftah programs throughout the month of Ramadan, consistently, oh Allah, only for the love of Islam, for the love of the Prophet, for the love of acquiring more knowledge. Oh Allah, You accept their passion, You convert it into knowledge, You convert it into action, and You convert it into acceptance, Ya Rabbal Alameen. All those who listen, all those that participated, oh Allah, You make them amongst the salihin, those from the righteous people, the righteous women, accept their du'as, all their needs that they ask for, all the wishes in the prayers that they made, Ya Allah, we ask You to grant them wa'afiyah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask You to bless our parents, my parents, Mufti Saab's parents, Sheikh Masmadi's parents, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Give them health, give them afiyah, give them barakah, give them happiness, give them joy, give them the best of this dunya, give them the best of akhirah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Wallah, we ask You to bless Miftah Institute in the work, Wallah, the little work that we have done, You expand it and You multiply and accept it, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Wallah, make us amongst those on the day of judgment who come, and the words that were said are accepted, not, and we ask refuge to be amongst those who spoke a lot, who claim to do Allah but have very little to show on the day of judgment. We ask You to make us from the sincere people, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Forgive our shortcomings, the sins that we did openly, hiddenly, knowingly, unknowingly. Oh Allah, You know the secrets of our hearts. You know the sins that people commit in the darkness. Oh Allah, we ask You, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ya Ghafir al-Dham, Ya Raja al-Muznibin, Ya Aman al-Qa'ifin. Oh Allah, there's no one else to turn to in the situation when we sin. Oh Allah, the door is shut, but the doors of Your Rahmah always open. Oh Allah, do You love us more than our mothers? You love us more than our fathers. Oh Allah, You are the most merciful. Oh Allah, let not this month of Ramadan conclude except that we have been forgiven and we have been emancipated from the fire of Jahannam and we have been granted Firdaus, Jannah, gardens of Firdaus, and the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, accept our little work and grant us tawfiq to do much more with afiyah. Oh Allah, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi
wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa